And now please take your Bibles and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Matthew Miller, who has been ministering to us this morning and will minister us this evening, has asked that we read the first nine verses here, the first nine verses of Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. May the Lord encourage us, even by these Old Testament commandments, to continue to keep the Word of God central in our homes and in our lives.
Well, thank you again for the privilege of being able to join with you this evening to worship the Lord and to preach the Word to you again. We're going to be starting in Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 4, so you can make your way in your Bibles there. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Lord God, I ask again that you would come and help this weak man, Lord, to teach your word, to proclaim truths that are beyond my ability. And I pray, Lord God, that you would give us grace to hear your word, and that you would, Lord, show us the high calling of the family that you have given to us, Lord God. And I pray that you would make our homes a place where your name is glorified, where your truth is taught, and where your praises are sung. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, Paul presents to the church the spiritual duties of a family. Children are instructed to submit to and obey the godly leadership of their parents using the words of the fifth commandment. And then parents are instructed to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, of course, that is a very broad commandment that encompasses everything involved in the raising of children in a godly home. And I do not presume to, in this sermon, to teach a sermon that would cover all of those bases. But I want to focus on what I think is a forgotten and sometimes neglected aspect of that instruction, and that is the practice of family worship. I think that's an essential way in which we obey this commandment, is to have a regular time of family instruction and the worship of God in our homes. And many of you this morning, if you listened to my testimony this morning, I mentioned that that was something that was infrequent. And even growing up in a Christian home, in an evangelical church, that was something that was infrequent in our house growing up. I'm not saying it was absent. I remember there was one year that my mom sat me down and we went through a chronological Bible. We read through the entire Bible. I don't think it was a year. I think it took us a little longer than a year. But she read through the entire Bible with me. So it wasn't totally absent. It just wasn't a regular practice in our home. And I want to assert that we don't fully obey this commandment to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord by simply bringing our children to church attendance with us, or putting them in Sunday school or other good programs that may be helpful supplements to help teach and instruct our children. But I think one thing is clear in this passage and in other passages that we will look at, that the parent is to be the primary instructor and leader in the spiritual instruction and practice of their children. Right? It's not something that we can contract out to a third party. Right? God has commanded parents, fathers here specifically in this passage, to be the primary instructors and leaders in the worship of God to their families, and specifically to their children. And so I believe that the best way that we fulfill this duty, not the only way, but one of the ways we fulfill this duty to our children, is to have a regular time of family worship in our homes. If it's something you're already practicing, I hope that you're encouraged to continue. If it's something that you're not used to practicing in your home, I pray that you will be encouraged to make a beginning, and I hope I can give some practical ways to do that. But first, let's start with a definition. What do we mean by family worship? Well, I mean family worship is a time that is set aside for a family to read the Bible, to pray together, and to worship God together. Very simple. And so let's look at a few passages that show us that this is something that God commands and expects his people to do. The first scripture is in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 through 19. And so this is, of course, a situation where the Lord is speaking to Abraham. He's revealing to him that he's about to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So verse 17. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." So we see in this passage part of Abraham's blessing or responsibility that goes along with this election, being chosen, God's elect, is that he would then command and teach his children, his household. Obviously, that included everyone who was a part of his household, that he would teach them the way of the Lord. And of course, that includes how to worship God, worshiping Him, teaching the commandments of God, leading them in doing and practicing righteousness and justice. And I think the context of this passage is very interesting. Right here is God is about to pour out judgment on an ungodly nation, an ungodly culture. And we might ask, well, how do we fight against the influence of ungodliness in our culture? Something very simple. In our own homes. Teaching the Word of God in our own homes. Leading our children and those around us, leading them in knowing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, worshiping God. It's amazing that something that seems so small and insignificant, yet it is the salt that preserves culture. It is the salt that preserves our family from ungodliness, to lead them in the truth. And so in the same way, we who are also chosen by God's grace, brought into His family, are commanded to follow this example of Abraham, to lead our households in the worship and learning about God and worshiping Him and honoring Him. And again, we'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And again, this was the passage that was read earlier. And again, here we find an expectation. So now we've come from Abraham forward to now Abraham's descendants are a great nation, unable to be counted. But yet the instructions are the same. Right? Having received the commandments of God, what are they instructed to do? Right, and we're in chapter 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Right, here's personal application, personal obedience, personal love. But then it has to flow out. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Right? I see in this passage, I think the key ideas of this family worship or family instruction is diligence and frequency. Right? You will be diligent to do this. Right? You'll do it every time when you wake up, when you go to bed, do it every day. Right? And then frequency. Right, as you're walking, when you're doing this, when you're doing that, right? Our leading our family in the instruction of God's word in the worship of God should be something we give diligent time to and frequent time to. Right? Not just here and there, not just if we have some spare time, but be diligent and frequent about it. It should be a priority in our family. And it's interesting, you know, when we think about the care of our children, right? We're willing to give lots of time and money to lots of things. Their education, we'll pay lots of money that they would get a good education. We'll spend lots of time that they can play those sports or go to those, have piano lessons and do. And all those things are fine. I'm not saying don't do those things. Right? All those things have their place in developing our children. But if we're willing to expend so much for their physical well-being, their physical growth, what about their spiritual well-being? Right, will we give time, effort, energy towards the well-being of our children's souls? Isn't that the most important part of them? The part that will live on forever is their soul? Right? Focus on soul care. How can we take care of the souls of our children? By teaching them the Word of God diligently. By teaching them by example the fear of God, the love of God, faith in Christ, repentance from sin, showing them these things, leading them in the worship of God. Now, another scripture I want us to look at, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? Of course, that last sentence is a very famous scripture, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But this famous scripture teaches us the importance of the role of fathers in leading their homes in the worship of God. Right? This is Joshua saying, this is what I have resolved to do as for me and my house. Right? Joshua's not just saying, well, for me, and you know, they can decide whatever they want to do. No, he is saying, as the father, as the head of my house, this is my resolution. I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to lead my household in this service, in this worship. And so, who is responsible for family worship? Well, the husband and father is primarily responsible if he is in the picture, right? And again, man, this is a call for us to take the responsibility. God has given us this privilege of headship in our house and this responsibility of headship in our house. Now, I remember when my daughter was born, and I'm sure many of you fathers have the same experience. When your child is born, there just seemed to be this almost a palpable sense of responsibility that came upon me. Like, I'm responsible for the life of this child, right? And that is a God-given responsibility. And whether you felt that or not, it's true. If you're a parent, God has given you a duty and a responsibility. And I think this idea of Christian duty is being lost. We don't talk about what is your duty as a Christian. I remember getting a hold of Martin Luther's catechism. And in the beginning of his catechism, he has a table of Christian duties. And it has all these, pastor, what are the duties of a pastor? And it's just scripture. He's quoting scripture. What are the duties of parents? And what are the duties of children? And I think we've kind of lost this idea that in these different roles of life, God has laid upon us a commandment. Do these things. Do these things. They are our responsibilities. And fathers, parents, we have a God-given responsibility. And thank God that he also gives grace to fulfill these responsibilities. But we're not to neglect them. All right? It's a known fact that if men in old Reformed or Puritan churches neglected the duty of leading their families in worship and instruction and catechism, they were disciplined by the church. If they did not lead, if they were neglecting, shirking their responsibilities towards their family, if our house is devoid of the Word of God, if it's devoid of prayer, if it's devoid of instruction or worship, then shame on us, men. Take up the duty that God has laid upon you to lead in this area. So let us realize our responsibility and give ourselves to these duties. And I think, when Paul in our passage in Ephesians says, bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord, all of these Old Testament passages are probably what is in Paul's mind. These were the scriptures that the Christians looked to. These were their instructions. So, let me talk a second about the importance or the benefits of family worship. Number one, it is honoring to God. It is honoring to God that His Word would be taught in our homes, that He would be called upon in prayer by us and by our children. It is honoring to God that His praises be sung. That's the number one reason, right? To glorify God and to enjoy Him in our homes. Number two, family worship, as we said before, is the fulfilling of your God-given responsibility to teach your children the truth of God, especially to teach them the gospel, to teach them who God is, to teach them who we are as human beings, to teach about our sin before God, our need for a Savior, and that God sent that Savior in Jesus Christ, and that it is only through faith in Christ that we are saved. And number three, it's something that God may use in His providence to bring your children to salvation. Now, again, going back to this point, it's not just, we're not just fulfilling our duty to our children by simply bringing them to church. Like I said before, I grew up in an evangelical, non-denominational church, and one of the things that was constantly talked about is, why are so many of our young people leaving the church, leaving the faith? And I think one of the reasons is because they were exposed to a bubble of Christianity on Sunday, but in many homes was devoid of God. It was devoid of the worship of God. It was devoid of the teaching of Scripture, devoid of prayer, right? They were taught here's religion over here, and then the rest of our life is, we just live that the way we want to live. But if they were taught, and if the Word of God was brought into their homes, and they were shown what it means to worship God, to believe in God, if they were taught by their parents' example, perhaps it would be different. We see this, an example of having the worship of God, having religion in the home, was so impactful to young Timothy. Turn over to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul says to Timothy, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So we see that there was a passing along of this faith. First, Lois, the grandmother, then Eunice, the mother, and then Timothy embraced this faith. Now, was it just that, grandma was a Christian and mom was a Christian, so now I'm a Christian? Well, we see that there was more to that, right? Look over in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it seems that Timothy was taught the scriptures. Now, probably, yes, maybe by attending the synagogue, but more than likely by his godly mother and grandmother, being taught, being instructed, being led in the worship of God. So we see an example in the New Testament of this family faith, this family worship. So what are the basic elements of family worship? When you come to worship as a family, what do we do? Well, three basic elements: the word, prayer, and worship. Or read, pray, sing. All right, it's not complicated. You don't have to create an order of worship, and first we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this. And it can be as simple as read, pray, sing. It doesn't have to take an hour. All right, it can be very simple, yet simple and effective. So let's talk about these three elements: read, pray, sing. Read the Bible together. Right, read the Bible as a family. If you're new to reading the Bible as a family, you may want to start with something easy, just reading through, say, the Gospel of Mark. Or if, depending on the age or the size of your family, right, if you have younger children, you may want to find a good children's Bible and begin to go through the stories of Scripture in the children's Bible. Depending on the age and size of your family, you may read a whole chapter or you may read a small section, right? But the point is, read the Scriptures with your children, that they become familiar with the stories, what is going on, that they become familiar with the truths that are being taught. Talk about what you read. Explain what's going on. What's going on in this chapter? Make it simple. Bring it down to the level of the children, the age of the children that you have. Let your children ask questions. Right? Sometimes they will catch the things and parts in the story and say, oh, but what about that? What's going on there? Let them ask questions and try to answer those questions. You may not know all the answers to the questions they're asking. It's okay. It's okay. But discuss the story. I think there's a good, helpful resource. The Family Worship Bible Guide is a really helpful resource. It gives you a summary of the chapter that you're reading, and it sometimes has some good questions, discussion questions. But talk about it, right? Let discussion run out of that chapter. It's amazing. You will, as you go through the Bible, it will force you to talk about or address issues that are good to talk about in a family. Questions of eternity, questions that have eternal significance, and questions about what's going on in the world today. Current events might spark a question. But read the Bible together. Read the Scriptures. Secondly, prayer. Pray together. Teach your children how to pray by your own example. Teach them the Lord's Prayer. Show them how the Lord's Prayer helps us to understand what we should pray for. How those points are jumping off points, right? It's not just that, just repeat this, the Lord's Prayer by rote every time. But show them how it outlines things that we should be praying for. Praying for God and His glory, the spreading of the gospel, praying for our own physical needs, praying for the needs of others, right? Teach them that we should pray for the spread of the gospel, that we should pray for those who preach the gospel, right? Pray for your elders before your children. Pray for missionaries that you guys support so your children are taught, oh, these are the people that are serving God. These are the needs they have. So pray. Pray with your children. Let them see that you're dependent on God. That mommy and daddy may not have all the answers for everything. We don't have the whole world under control, but God does. So let's bring our needs, our desires before God and submit those things to God and trust in Him to provide those things. Third element, sing, worship God together. Right? You want to aim for a sense of awe and wonder for who God is and what He has done. Sing about the goodness of God. Sing about the deeds of God, the character of God. Sing the Bible. Sing gospel-saturated songs. Teach your children to be amazed by who God is and what he has done for us. So a quick side note, this doesn't have to do with singing, but not too long ago, we read through the book of Esther. It was mostly with my older two, because the younger two don't have the attention span to sit through the reading of the entire book of Esther. But we sat down and read the whole book of Esther. It's only a few chapters. But in reading that whole book, we were amazed at how, you know, there's irony in the book of Esther, right? Haman is trying to set everything, you know, set it up, and just how God flips everything over. And in reading that book together, you know, they were hanging on the flow of the story. What's going to happen next? And in that, we saw the providence of God. Look at how God rules over all things. Look at how he rules over the life of a young Jewish woman and puts her exactly where she needs to be to save all of God's people and to spare them from death. Right? And it was an amazing time. Not every time we sit down to read the Bible is it an amazing time where, you know, the children are hanging on every word that you're saying. But there are times, right? And that's why I think diligence and consistency in this is good, because there are times when God blesses those times, right? There are many times when it's just plain work. It's just plain hard and sometimes discouraging. But there are times when God blesses your time of worship as a family. And those are sweet times. They're sweet times. But aim for a sense of awe and wonder in who God is. And probably the singing part is the one that we struggle personally the most as a family. We're not all very musical. It's hard to, you know, teach them the songs and lead them through the songs. But we're still working on those things. But in all of these elements of family worship, your main goal should be to communicate the gospel to your family over and over and over again. Tell them again who God is, his character, his holy character, his righteous character, his merciful character. Tell them, teach them about the sinfulness of man. Teach them we are not as good as all the Disney movies make us out to be. We are sinners. We've sinned against God. We can't just follow whatever our heart says. We need to follow what God commands. We can't do it all ourselves. We are weak, sinful human beings. And we mess, look at the Bible, we mess things up over and over and over again. We are sinners. We've broken God's law. But teach them also the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save sinners. God sent his Son for us sinners. He sent him to bleed on our behalf, to pay the penalty of our sins. He raised him up from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of God. And he is our only hope. Teach them these things. Teach them the response to the gospel. How do we respond to this? By repenting of our sin, confessing our sin to God, humbling ourselves before him, and putting faith in Christ, trusting in Christ alone for our salvation. Other elements that I found helpful in family worship, scripture memory. You can pick a scripture. Hey, this month, we want to memorize this scripture, right? Teach them the Apostles' Creed. Again, that's a good way to go through the basic doctrines of the faith. A good catechism. Again, I shared with you guys this morning, I was not brought up or taught a catechism, and it seems like when I discovered these Reformed catechisms, it's like I found a buried treasure chest. Where has this stuff been my entire life? I love how it lays out the faith so simply, systematically, defining those key Bible terms. We want our children to understand what is atonement, what is a covenant. And it's good for us to learn these things too. Some practical tips on how to start. Number one, pick a time. Pick a time to do this, right? If you're a very busy family, look at your schedule. Clear a spot. Pick at least 1 or 2 days a week to have family worship. Again, this is going to be very variable on your own schedules as a family. Sometimes mornings are good for some families. Sometimes that's not going to work. Sometimes evenings are better. Pick a time. Find a time. Make time for your family. Make it age appropriate. Right? If you have very small children, again, you may want to start with a good children's Bible. You know, keep it short, make it fun. Don't expect your 3-year-old to sit through 30 minutes on the book of Leviticus, okay? They're probably not going to track with you. I know when the older ones were younger, sometimes we'd act out a Bible story. Right, hey, let's act this out so it sticks in their head, right? They remember what's going on in this story. Caleb was not too excited when we came to the sacrifice of Isaac. No, I'm kidding. We didn't act that one out. But make it fun. I know it's hard, and it's hard to keep it that way, right? When you're trying, you've got 4 little ones and you're trying to get them to all listen and pay attention and stop hitting their sibling that's next to them. But make it age appropriate. Don't be intimidated. Right? You may feel that you don't know enough about the Bible to teach it to your wife or to your children. You know, some of you, husbands may say, well, I came to faith later in life. You know, my wife is a walking Bible encyclopedia, and I'm still having a hard time finding where Zephaniah is in the Bible. That's okay. Right? Again, God doesn't say, okay, the most Bible competent person is the leader. No, he calls husbands and fathers, as inadequate as we might be, to lead our families, to humble ourselves, and to allow ourselves to be instructed when we're wrong. So come as a humble learner. Learn together. Don't be afraid to be honest. If you don't understand a certain part of what you're reading in the Bible, you can be honest. I don't understand everything that's in this passage. Right? Look for good study helps, good study Bibles. Or like I said, the Family Worship Bible Guide is a good resource. Study the passage more on your own and come back with more insight next time. And finally, don't give up. Don't give up. Beginning and maintaining this habit of family worship may well be one of the most challenging things that you do. Right? It never fails. When it's time for family worship, the kids will be squirmy. The doorbell will ring. The dog will have an accident on the rug. Or tornado will hit and World War III will erupt. And you will feel like giving up and never trying this again. But don't give up. I can't remember. There's certain, I mean, it's almost comical, except when you're trying, you know, to lead your family in worship, it doesn't seem comical at the time. But there's times that things have happened. Okay, it's Bible time, and then I forget what happened, but it's like, oh, are you kidding me? don't give up. Compose yourself. Take a breath. Ask for God's grace and continue to try again and again. Again, it's a thing that God uses to humble us often as fathers, as husbands. It's humbling. It is against pride, right? It's wonderful to stand up here and preach to people that have self-control and can sit in a pew and listen. And sometimes, you know, 3-year-olds don't fit in that category. And so, it humbles us. But again, we're not doing this for our own pride. We're doing this for the good. Again, you've been entrusted with souls. Eternal souls have been entrusted to your care, fathers and mothers. And if you will not teach them the word of God, who will? If you won't lead them in the worship of God, who will? No one else will. And so, I encourage you, may God strengthen you to do this. May God strengthen you to lead your family in the worship of God, in the reading of His Word, in prayer, and in singing His praises. And may He make our homes a place where He is glorified. Let's pray. Lord God, You are great in wisdom, and You have instituted things in this world for our good. You have given us the church, and the church has a function, and it is an important function. And You have made the family, and that has a function, an important function in society. And You have called fathers and mothers to lead their families in instruction and the discipline of the Lord and the worship of God. And Lord, we ask for Your grace and Your help. We need it. We are weak and inadequate. We have short fuses and a lack of patience and a propensity to do the things we want to do and not to do what You have commanded us. And Lord, we pray You would forgive us for these things, and You would give us more grace, Lord God, more grace in our homes, that our homes would be places where You are glorified, that our children would know the way of the Lord, that they would know the commandments of God, but most of all know the gospel of God, and that You would give them, incline their hearts, give them new hearts to believe the gospel and cling to the gospel and love Christ with all their heart. Lord, help us in these things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.